New York. They have a state institution, penal institution for women. 70% of the women in the state prison institution, black women. 70% of the women in that prison, our women, the average age, 24 years old. Why, good God, man, what's happening to your woman? They're making her a prostitute. They're making her a drug addict. They're making her a lesbian. They're making her a harlot. They're making her a solid. Because you and I won't stand up and be men. A man, when you're a man, you're not afraid to go to jail. When you're a man, you're not afraid to give your life. And when you're a man, you're not afraid to take someone else's life. You believe in a fair exchange. The overcrowded homes of our community force us to live under some of the worst sanitary conditions imaginable. It becomes almost impossible here in Harlem to practice the rules of good hygiene. Therefore, tuberculosis, TB, syphilis, gonorrhea, and other destructive social diseases are destroying the health and the moral fiber of our community. Our people here in Harlem are trapped in a vicious cycle of ignorance, poverty, disease, sickness, and death. And there seems no way out. There seems to be no way of escape. And the wealthy, educated, black bourgeoisie, the upper class Negroes, those who do escape, they never reach back and pull the rest of us out along with them. They move up in Westchester with their white friends, with their white liberals, or up in Stamford, Connecticut. The black masses remain trapped here in the slums. And because there seems no hope or no other way out, no other escape, we turn to wine as a way out. We turn to whiskey as a way out. We turn to reefers as a way out. And many of our people here in Harlem, and especially right here in this neighborhood, have turned to that dreadful needle. Heroin, morphine, cocaine, opium, poison, nothing but poison. But you turn to it seeking an escape from the misery that the brutality and the deceit of the white man has trapped us in here in Harlem. That's the only way you know of escape. Many of our people turn to crime, stealing, gambling, prostitution, organized crime. Crime that has been organized here in Harlem by the white man. You don't organize any crime. He organizes the crime. He controls the prostitution in Harlem. He controls the numbers racket in Harlem. He controls the drug traffic in Harlem. He is the one that controls it. He is the master criminal. He is the arch enemy. He gets you drunk and then locks you up for being drunk. He sells you whiskey and then locks you up when he catches you drunk. He sells you a deck of cards and locks you up when he catches you using them. While you are dealing with nothing but a deceitful, blue-eyed devil walking around here on this earth, over to hell, as long as you follow him. Many of us turn to crime, and I had plenty of experience of it right out here in Harlem. I know what it's all about. Stealing, gambling, and prostitution, we allow ourselves to be used by the white overlords downtown to bring their dope back up here in Harlem and push it among our poor, innocent, unsuspecting young people. Why, we let the white man use us to make drug addicts out of children, to make drug addicts out of babies, drug addicts out of mothers. We let the white man use us to bring that poison up here in Harlem and stick it into the veins of our people. You take it downtown and give it to some white people and see how long you walk the streets as a few men, free men. No, the only time he'll let you get away with it is when you're giving it to your own kind. When you're poisoning your own kind, making your own kind high and making your own kind drunk. I know what I'm talking about. I used to be used by that blue-eyed white man for the same thing. I know it. He's the one behind it, and he knows that I know it and can't say anything about it because he knows that I know it. You can't get dope in Harlem without the white man's permission. You can't play numbers in Harlem without the white man's permission. You can't open up a gambling house in Harlem without the white man's permission. Why, you can't even be a prostitute without the white man's permission. And then when he makes you these things, he turns around and talks about them. All of them get drunk. That's what he says. All of them are wino. That's what he says. All of them are delinquent. That's what he says. Why, he breaks your wings and then calls you a cripple. He breaks your legs and then calls you a cripple. He puts out your eyes and then accuses you of not being able to see. You're dealing with nothing but a walking, talking, blue-eyed devil. And the day you realize it, you won't look to him for any solution for your problem. You know, they call this hate. This is not hate teaching. This is love teaching.
Right.
If I didn't love you, I wouldn't tell you what I'm telling you.
That's right.
I wouldn't stick my neck out. I wouldn't take a chance.
Yeah.
Why, don't you know that old blue-eyed thing stands around here just waiting for me to say something that he can put me in jail? I make sure that everything I say is the truth, the gospel truth. And once I know it's the truth, I'm going to tell it if it costs me my life. So this isn't hate teaching. This is love teaching. This is love talk. We love you, but we don't love him. We want to unite with you, but we don't want to unite with him. We recognize you as our brother, but we don't recognize that old blue-eyed thing as our brother. Let him go on and be a brother to himself. Unemployment and poverty has forced many of our people into this life of crime. But as we pointed out a couple of weeks ago, the real criminal is in City Hall downtown. The real criminal is in the State House in Albany. The real criminal is in the White House in Washington, D.C. The real criminal is the white man who poses as a liberal, the political hypocrite. And it is these legal crooks posing as our friends, forcing us into a life of crime, and then using us to spread the white man's evils and vices among our own people. Our people are scientifically maneuvered by the white man into a life of poverty. You're not poor accidentally. He maneuvers you into poverty. You're not ignorant accidentally. He maneuvers you into ignorance. You're not a drug addict accidentally. Why, this white man maneuvers you into drug addiction. You're not a prostitute accidentally. You have been maneuvered into prostitution by the American white man. There is nothing about your condition here in America that is an accident. It is part of the scientific method used by the American white man to keep us here in bondage, in ignorance, in poverty, 20th century slavery. Because we are forced to live in the poorest section of the city, we attend inferior schools. We have inferior teachers. We get an inferior education. The white power structure downtown make certain that by the time you and I do graduate, we won't be equipped or qualified for anything but the dirtiest, heaviest, poorest paying jobs, jobs that no one else wants. They prepare us for this. We are trapped in a vicious cycle of debt. Inferior jobs, inferior housing, inferior education, which again leads to inferior jobs. We spend a lifetime in this vicious cycle, going in circles, giving birth to children who see no hope or future but to follow in the miserable footsteps of their poverty-stricken parents. We saw no solution to our problem. We saw no real leader among our people. But today the whole world is talking, they're talking about the divine solution that he has received from the God of our forefathers. Not a temporary solution which will benefit only the hand-picked upper-class Negroes, but a solution divinely designed to solve the plight of the black masses permanently and forever. But the government does not want our people to listen and understand the solution that God has given, because the government is against God. I say the government is against God. In order to trick our people away from God's true solution, the government is trying to deceive you with a false solution, a phony solution, a deceitful solution called token integration. Don't you know tokenism is a drag? Is that token money? No. It's a substitute for money. It's not the real thing. It's a substitute. It's a pacifier. When your baby starts crying at home because it's hungry and you don't want to give your baby any milk, what do you give it? A pacifier. A substitute. Tokenism. And that's the same thing that this blue-eyed white man is tricking you and me with today. He hears you crying out like a baby for freedom and justice and equality. And knowing that he can't give it to you, he sticks a pacifier in your mouth. He gives you tokenism, little crumbs. He sticks a couple of Negroes in the University of Mississippi and tells you it's integrated. And a couple more in the University of Alabama and tells you it's integrated. And another one in the University of South Carolina and tells you that that's integrated. That's nothing but tokenism. It's nothing but deceit. It's nothing but false maneuvering. And God is going to bring chastisement upon the American white man for tricking the so-called Negroes here in this country. God is after him. God is not only after him for enslaving you. God is after him for tricking you, for deceiving you. God is after him. God is the one that's making his ship sink in the sea. God is the one who brings his airplane crashing out of the sky full of white folks. God is the one that makes his cars crack up on the highway. God is the one that's giving polio to his little children and making his senators die with heart attacks. That's the work of God. That's a blessing from God. That's the reward that God has given him for the evil that he has done. That's a wicked race. And God is making his children be born today, be formed, cemented, or dead. That's from God. That's what God did to Pharaoh. When Pharaoh wouldn't treat those people right, and Pharaoh wasn't stopped by those other plagues, God then began to strike the firstborn. God began to knock off his children. God began to devils lose their children. And when they saw their own little babies dying, and their senators dying, and their congressmen dying, and their former presidents dying, and their big shots falling out, then they knew that there was a God trying to separate those people from that wicked slave master. And just as it was in those days, it's the same way today. It isn't you who's after the white man. God is after the white man. It isn't communists that's after the white man. God is after the white man. God doesn't love ugly, and there's nothing on this earth uglier than that blue-eyed, string-haired, bad-smelling race of devil. Yeah. condition, need your plight better or worse. Let's look at it. When you tried to integrate the white community in search of better housing, the white people there fled to the suburbs. And the community that you thought would be integrated soon deteriorated into another all-black slum. What happened to the liberal whites? Why did they flee? You thought they were your friends. And why did the neighborhood deteriorate only after you moved in? Tricky real estate agents, posing as white liberals, encouraged you to force your way into white communities. And then they were the ones who sold you these integrated houses at such high prices that you again were forced to take in rumors in order to offset your high house note. This creates in the new area the same overcrowded condition, and the new community soon deteriorates into the same slum condition from which you thought you had escaped. This is a cycle that we go in, and the only one who has benefited is the white real estate agent who poses as your friend, who poses as a white liberal, who sold you a house in a white community that he knew was destined to become nothing but a high-priced slum. Today, our people can see that integrated housing has not solved our problem. At best, it was only a temporary solution, one in which only the wealthy, hand-picked Negroes found temporary benefit. And after the 1954 Supreme Court desegregation decision, the same thing happened when you tried to integrate the white school. All the white students disappeared into the suburbs, and the caliber of what you thought was an integrated school soon fell to the same level as the slum school from which you thought you had escaped. Just as efforts to integrate housing failed miserably, efforts to integrate schools have been an even more miserable failure. Having failed to get integrated housing and integrated schools, now the Negro leaders are demanding integrated jobs, which means they are demanding a certain quota or percentage of white people's jobs. What will this lead to? First, the Negro leadership demanded the white man's house, and the whites vacated their rundown houses for us and built new homes for themselves out in the suburbs. Then the Negro leadership demanded seats for our children in the white man's school. The whites evacuated the school as our children moved in, and they built modern schools for themselves out in the suburbs. But now the Negro leadership is demanding the white man's job. Can the whites vacate their jobs like they vacated their homes and their schools? Not without violence and bloodshed. The same white liberals who used to praise you for your patient, nonviolent approach have now become openly impatient and violent themselves in the face of their own jobs. Not only in the South, but also in the North, right here in New York City. Why, they were busting heads out in Brooklyn. They were busting heads out in Long Island. They were busting heads up in the Bronx. White teenagers came out in sheets. Ku Klux Klan, not in Georgia, but right up there in, not down south, but down in the Bronx. White teenagers came out there burning crosses to let you know that this white man here is no different from that white man down there. White Nazis, not in Germany, right here in New York City, up there burning crosses, had a carload of guns ready to come at you like they came at the Jews over in Germany. And when they caught those Nazis, they found that one of them was a Jew. And that Jew running around here talking about Nazis, some of them are nothing but Nazis themselves. You didn't hear them blow that up in the newspaper, did you? No, they tried to quiet it down. Why, when you find Jews who are Nazis, you really found something. In fact, I think you can find a whole lot of them who are not. Always running around here trying to make you get sympathetic for them. But you are the master at that. Make you shed crocodile tears over what happened to him in Germany. You tell him what happened to you right here. You haven't got no time to cry no tears for no Jews. Cry tears for yourself. Let him solve his problem and you solve your problem. Why, they only killed 6 million Jews. Only 6 million Jews were killed by Hitler. Uncle Sam killed 100 million black people, bringing them here. Yeah? 100 million. 100 million. Don't let no Jew get up in your face and make you cry for him. Ask him what happened with his forefathers when our forefathers were being brought over here as slaves. 100 million black people were taken from Africa. And when the Civil War was over, there weren't 6 million black people in America. There weren't 20 million black people in the Western Hemisphere. What happened to 80 million? Where did they go? Where did they disappear? Why, that dog dropped them in the water and worked them to death. He murdered them. He butchered them. He mutilated them. I mean 80 million of your and my forefathers. And you think that God is going to forgive him for that? No. You might be dumb enough to forgive him for it, but God won't forgive him for it. That's why God is after him. 80 million black people, dead, murdered. And these Jews got the audacity to run around here and want you to cry for them. Let them go cry for themselves. Tell them if they're interested in your problem that you have some of these stores. Instead of opening stores up all in your neighborhood and robbing your deaf, dumb, and blind. You ask the Jews to do that. And some of them blue-eyed Jews are going to walk away from here and say that I'm saying something anti-Semitic. Anti-hell.